Okay, fine. I'll see them there. I think it's a nice idea. Have Hunger get some desk that has to reject some historic desk and put it out there. All right, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm just talking to Alex here.
Oh.
What is the, how did it go to this morning? Everybody happy?
Yes, sir. It was a
fine.
Good session. They
good idea, too.
Covered the whole ground. And John covered domestic, and George the budget and economics, and Gregor legislative. Henry did a superb job.
Did he?
You know, a good foreign policy.
Was he in good shape?
Good form.
Good.
He's great. You know, he really is, and that stuff. He walked in, and he came late.
Sure.
He said, I apologize for not being here to hear the other speakers, but as you know, the president's giving me hell every half hour.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let me leave till I had gotten this half hour's worth. I mean, you know, and then he played off of that kind of stuff, and he just does a marvelous job. And I think people came away with a very good, upbeat feeling.
Well, the thing about it, too, is that, as we know, Bob, Henry, with his faults, is still just so basically in tune with what the hell I believe in. And it's a goddamn loyal.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Well, he did a great job of laying out the, you know, China and Soviet thing and wrapping up Vietnam. Giving them a feel that they know what the plan is and that it's working damn well, but that there are going to be some possible setbacks here and there and that nobody should flap about it.
Good.
And that's what our people need to know. They've got
Well, the thing is that everything isn't going to be like you get in India, Pakistan, and you have to bomb the North so everybody doesn't say, oh, Christ.
Right.
I mean, hell, that's part of foreign policy.
He laid that out and then said the North Vietnamese are going to have some spectacular event that is going to make it, they're going to do everything they can to make it look like a disaster for us. It won't be, but it'll be played that way. And we just got to be prepared for that and go through it and then go on about what we're doing, which is working. You know, and he hit that damn hard. So I picked it up at the closing and said the same thing applies to the political thing too this year. We're going to get good polls and bad ones, and we better not get excited about the good ones or depressed about the bad ones. And we know the opposition's going to score some points on us. There's no point in getting upset about that. We've got our plan. We know what we're doing. We're in good shape. And you know, there we go.
So,
I think we've got, you know, it was a good thing to do.
Well, I'm glad you did it. Another thing, too, is that I think there is sort of a tendency, as we know, in the campaign period for everybody to sort of sit around and grouse and say that things are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that those guys, you know what I mean? It's,
yep.
Now, understand, I am all for, believe me, all for Price and Buchanan and Halleck and others writing their critiques. And we'll get them from debt, you know, and saying everything's going to hell. And not doing anything right, and our supporters thing, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, if you ever start getting that sort of a feeling around, Bob, it just destroys the thing. The thing to do is to remember that things are going to hell a lot better than we have any right had any right to expect.
We should just be
we should not be, that doesn't mean that we say, Jesus, we're swimming. We simply say we have a hell of a fight, but we're doing well. But I think there's one tendency that you can feed it to all the cabinet. The thing is that it'll be a very, very rapidly spreading virus among your staff, particularly younger people and some cabinet people in the rest. That anytime anything goes a little bit wrong, they'll throw up their hands and say everything's gone to hell.
Yep.
And I don't think we've got much of that now, frankly. I mean, not as much as last year, at least, do we?
We don't. People are better seasoned. For one thing, they've been through a couple of things that were supposedly the end of the world and it didn't end.
Yeah.
So,
that's why they've learned. That's why I say on the Buchanan analysis, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think all of those things. I mean, you know, people, your staff meetings and the rest, tell them, now look, fellas, let's keep our heads and our perspective. I mean, what's going to be the big story next week?
Right.
What troubles are the other fellow having? I just told Alex I'd sign this. He wants me to sign this.
Yeah, he's got it. That's great.
If you don't know about all the others, I told him to bring them over here to the diplomatic reception.
Just do it on the way out.
Sure. Because, you know, it's just
that's
just
good. They can kind of send you off to the hill.
So they did all this work. Budget. one of the points that is very, very important on this thing is, as I told you, to remember your great capacity that two fellows particularly have, one is McGregor and one is Colson, to sort of build people that mean sort of talk the upbeat stuff, you know.
Yep.
They're fighters, see. They're basically, you know, the reason they do is that both of them, each one of them is a realist. Jesus Christ, they never, I must say, McGregor having lost an election or two, and Colson knowing that you go up and down, they're realists. But,
yeah.
But they know the overwhelming importance not to go down, but go around with your mouth hanging down.
Yep.
Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
And I think that's so important experience. And it's really sort of the Connolly attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's never down. You talk to us sort of candidly about things, but he doesn't talk that way.
He never projects it, and that's the key thing.
He always says, gee, thanks. Well, I think we're doing great.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yep.
The other side is, but... Okay. Anything else new this morning?
We kind of opened the meeting on that,
yeah.
Thinking back to 3 years ago this morning when we were all trying to figure out what the hell we were here for and how we were going to do.
Yeah.
This has developed into quite a crew over that 3 years.
I think it's a great idea to do it. I was thinking of this and that connection. Do you think maybe I ought to have the breakfast, but not this year with the damn... with the Democrats, except for a few. I mean, I'll do some of the Democrats with a little pop at night, you know, in our good conservative Democrats. But what I meant is the breakfast for the Republicans. We could do about 3-4 breakfasts for Republicans very easy, you know what I mean? Do you think it's a good idea?
We had talked about that. There's the problem is you don't want to have them with the Democrats, I don't think.
Not this year. No,
and
no.
And the other side of it is, if you have it just with the Republicans,
it looks partisan.
Then you get the contrast to last year when we had it with the Democrats.
Yeah.
And maybe
well,
it doesn't matter.
No, no. The point that I make is that if I did this, I would have Democrats in at night, selected Democrats for a drink.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we can say, well, we're doing different things. We've got some gays having a reception, and you have a breakfast with Mansfield, you know, do all that crap, you know, and one with Albert. I suggest the breakfast menu because it's not such a time consuming.
Yeah.
Gets these guys.
Well, it might be a good idea. And of course, all those guys are going to be running.
They're all going to be running.
We need them out fighting for
say
them.
Say we appreciate their help, so forth and so on. And
yeah.
then I would have in, and I'd have in the senior Democratic guys that have been helpful to us, like I'd have in the Southern Democratic crowds, you know, terms. People like Hebert. Tennis, you know, people like that, and they'd all, I'd have them in sometime for things, and we'll say, yeah, we're having Democrats and Republicans, you know.
Yeah, but don't make a thing out of the Republican thing of covering everybody, we just say you're having a group, and
yeah,
maybe not do them all right in sequence, so that it doesn't look
no,
like
I agree, I agree, I'd have, and rather than having them in alphabetical order, you might have them in terms of when they came to Congress,
yeah,
but they can say that it's the club, you know.
Yeah.
This club and that club have invited me, and so I have invited them up here, see, and do a group of Democrats.
That has some merit, too, because you can talk a little differently to the older guys than you do the younger guys. It's different.
Alex asked whether or not I should have one of the women. I asked you about that. You said, no, say something about Mrs. Stans and Mrs. Harden. I don't know.
Why, I don't think so.
The only one that can do it is Adele Rogers. She's short and she's damn good.
Yeah. And Adele certainly can.
Yeah.
the ranking cabin wife way.
Well, she's the ranking. Of course, Mrs. Agnew is, but she can't do it.
Well, yeah, but she's a little different.
Yeah.
She's sort of in luck with Mrs. Nixon there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They don't do that. I think maybe we could do that. So that we, what do you think? Mean something to the women that are there?
I suppose maybe it does. I'm not really sure, but hell, it doesn't hurt anything. That's probably...
It's a cheap shot for us. Just ask
probably
Adele.
Worth doing it. Adele
ask Adele. Tell her we're just going to have two, I'd prefer to say 2 minutes about Mrs. Harden and Mrs. Stans and the women in the cabin. All the women in the cabin. Tell her, well, the other thing, that we're going to have the non-cabinet type speaking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that we get the, you know, like the Harlow and the two alumni.
Yeah.
And the two departing ones, so that we get the big shots not in at this time, but that we'd like for her to say a word about that.
Okay.
And, That's good.
I'll tell Alex. What did you leave it with him?
I said I'd ask you
okay.
that you and I discussed it.
Okay. So. I'll confirm that. And Colson was always on the list, as was Mrs. Dowler.
Well, I wasn't sure. Colson didn't raise it, understand?
Well, I thought I was sure.
I didn't. He didn't raise it, but I had just, I was looking over the thing and thinking about the fact that I had suggested Scally to you.
Yeah.
And then I thought, my God, no, if I have Scally, you can't have him
right.
Without Colson.
No question.
That's why I called.
That's right. He was on.
Because the thing is, another reason I suggest him is that he has never asked me to go on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a guy doesn't ask,
that's right.
I feel a hell of a lot different about putting him on than when they do ask.
No,
you know what I mean?
He's awful good about all that.
He never has.
He's got good sense.
Never wants to be out front and everything. He just likes, he knows damn well. What's more important is that I know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Henry made the foreign policy sound pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he did. It sounds darn good. And he covers all the mystique, you know, because the years of the building block. He's got some good analogies of the blocks that you've been laboring so painstakingly to build over the last several years are now starting to take form.
Well, about the cabinet meeting this afternoon, do we have an agenda for the damn thing? Is that
Basically, it's a
budget
Schultz thing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I guess we better not cover it. Just the funny thing is, I hate for it to be so dull. Well, did you get a hold of Connelly and ask him if it's okay to sign a brief report on these figures?
Here it is. That's Stein's going to give a brief report. Rumsfeld a brief report. Then Schultz a quick rundown on the budget outlook. And that's it. That'll be fine.
That's enough.
The State of the Union will set them up on.
And we shouldn't have it. And we shouldn't have a long cabinet.
No point in getting repetitious on that. Right. Figuring an hour and 15. We ought to get it done in that.
You've got a hold of Harlow on Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're going to set that up. Get, or he's going to. So we'll know he's got it before he gets up there today.
I was wondering with regard to the cocktail hour, I was reconsidering the weather. Due to the nature of the thing, we ought to come down maybe right at 8 or 7:30, shake hands, and then stay for 15 minutes and stand around a little and then go in. You see that, which is a different type of thing, that they're just going through the line and going to dinner.
Yeah. I think if you want to, that's fine. I don't care to,
but I mean,
my inclination would be not to. That
it's
you just don't need
just
that.
I don't think we do it. No, I don't think we do.
The problem is you get sandbagged by the wrong people. If you could, move around and chat with some of the people you don't see, that'd be fine.
Well, we would just make make the receiving line very leisurely.
Slow,
long,
right.
And have people, I don't, since it is long and leisurely, I just wonder if people ought to move right into this. Well, that's all right for them. They don't mind sitting at their tables.
No, I think they probably ought not to. I think that's maybe the answer.
Yeah.
Is to have them not go into the dining room, have them stay, and then you lead the thing into the dining room.
Yeah. And we'll go in first, huh?
Yeah. Why not? We've done that on some others, and it works pretty well. I know Mrs. Nixon didn't want to do it for steak dinners anymore.
Well, if we do.
But you just finish the line. As soon as the line's through, you turn and go down the hall, and everybody else follows you down. You go in and sit down. They all come in and sit down after you.
Well, the trouble is...
they can't start serving right away.
They can't start. And also, I'm a little... boxes, I think, pop up every time somebody comes in. I think they ought to just,
when the line's halfway through, we'll start them in.
You start them in a leisurely way.
Instead of running them all in right
Don't run them right in. Just
right.
have the drinking go on just a little while. In other words, make it for five so that we stand there for a minute, and then dinner is served at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, whatever that is.
It's going to be, don't get a big kick out of it anymore. The non-cabin people, especially.
Yes, of course, it means more than the cabin people. But the cabin people, I'm not sure.
They sure do.
Well, considering everything, I was just thinking, we probably come. At the end of 3 years today, maybe we would have liked to have stood better, but you consider what the divided Congress for foreign policy problems. I thought that was a basically his depth analyzer.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that kind of thing, and I think also Drew Harris, may be more important than the other kind that you're feeling.
Oh, sure it is, because it gets into some degree. The other is just a
degree
cut
and
on the
top. Okay. Let's see.
Very good. Fine.